Magic mushrooms and MDMA will be available for mental health therapeutics starting July 1st this year. Australia will be leading the charge, being the very first country to introduce psychedelics as an official medical therapy for mental health. But details of how it will be accessible and costs and so forth remain unclear. Jono Wakeley spoke with Kathy Mihalopoulos, Head of Health Economics at Monash University, and asked her how these psychedelics could shape up.
As leaders in any field, I guess it's always unclear. The path ahead of us, I guess, is not entirely super-duper clear right now. We'll have to wait until the 1st of July when we know what exactly the details of how these products will become available within the Australian context. But we do know that people or that psychiatrists need to be authorised prescribers. So it is a bit muddy, but, you know, it's the first step, I guess.
How much will therapies associated with psilocybin and MDMA cost?
Look, at this point, it's not entirely clear. There have been some estimates floating around, suggesting it, $20,000 to $30,000. And that's largely to do with the psychological therapy component of the intervention, because it is the psychedelics plus associated psychological therapy. So it's not entirely clear, but at this point in time, it's looking to be quite high cost.
How much will therapies associated with psilocybin and MDMA cost?
Well, that depends on a few things. They could be, but at what cost is unknown. There's still a few steps that we need to go through in order for the services to be subsidised. First of all, any product that wants to get subsidised, for example, through the pharmaceutical benefit scheme, we'll need to go through TGA registration for that particular product, and then it needs to go through the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee to be considered for evidence of effectiveness, cost effectiveness, and budget impact considerations, and for the psychological therapy component of it, it would have to go through an equivalent or a similar process, but through a committee called MSAC, which is which funds psychological and other kind of interventions.
Could you see these services being subsidised by Medicare?
Well, potentially they could be subsidised, but it will depend, I guess, on the appetite of industry and others to put them through the required, formal channels in order to get public subsidy. We're not there yet. All that's happened in Australia is that there's been TGA approval for authorised prescribers to use them, not illegally, but we're still a way off public subsidy.
How accessible will treatment be? How many providers are currently qualified in Australia?
Well, we don't know. I think that's a question that we don't know. But I do know that, people in the industry are setting themselves up, but in terms of a total number, I certainly don't know that. And right now, the accessibility of it, because they're not publicly subsidised, will largely, include a large out-of-pocket cost, which will likely be quite prohibitive to quite a few members of our community. But how much that'll be, I don't know yet, and we won't know until these things start to be provided.
How effective are these forms of treatment?
Look, I guess for there's good evidence for PTSD and emerging evidence for other areas. There's a lot of research currently being undertaken in the space, but I guess it's a growing field, but I think probably the strongest, evidence right now is psilocybin and MDMA for post-traumatic, for PTSD.
How cautious should we be about these kinds of services?
Well, I guess right now is that there's a lot that we just don't know. Emerging evidence is showing that they're likely, as I said, to be effective. Good evidence, reasonably good evidence for PTSD and growing in other areas, and treatment-resistant depression would be one of those areas. We don't know the long-term consequences at this point in time, and I think that's something that research really needs to focus on. How long the impacts really last for, and any, you know, unintended longer-term consequences, we just don't know. So the research is really out in some really important areas. And that's why there's been some, you know, reservations expressed by others within the area.
Cathy Mihalopoulos, Head of Health Economics at Monash University, speaking there with Jono Wakeley.